Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 11th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic? Camera problems, self-inflicted and otherwise. Well, welcome back to another digital photography show. We're going to talk about, well, kind of the problem side of photography today, which is when our beloved camera, you know, doesn't work anymore. Now, sometimes this happens because it's something that we did. That's the self-inflicted part. And then other times this happens for something that's completely out of our control. And that's the sort of the electronics part. And 9 out of 10 times when there's a camera malfunction with a digital camera, it is because of something electronic. Okay, but I'm going to tackle both sides today and hopefully give you some good tips and keep you out of trouble and keep you up and shooting so you can send in great shots to the site and we can share them with other people. See how that line of logic there goes? It all ends up, you know, being about, well, you know, as the old Saturday Night Live shtick goes, it all ends up being about me, but actually it all ends up being about the site and us getting great shots up there. Speaking of that, I really have to commend you on the grab shot activity lately. It's been fabulous. And it's so funny with the grab shot thing that, it comes in through my mail client that I use for the site. And, you know, you get all sorts of stuff in there. You know, you get the Viagra ads, which I'm really not that interested in, so you know those just go right in. The ones that get through go right into the junk mail folder, and then there are questions and comments, and I do enjoy those about the site, and I tackle those. But the real gems in it are is when a really great grab shot appears in my preview pane on my mail client when I'm going through the mail for the digital story, and that definitely always makes my day. So I'm having a great time with them, and I can tell you guys are too. And I should give you a little feedback because I'm a data junkie. I'm constantly studying website analytics and all that kind of stuff. And the grab shots, just so you guys know, pull traffic very well. The number one thing that pulls traffic on the site, as you might guess, would be the podcast itself. And then after that, equipment reviews do really well, and grab shots are just right up there with the equipment reviews. So those, it's a very popular feature. It's not just, you know, you and me and our families that like this. Everybody likes this, and people are subscribing to the site to get those pictures. So keep them coming. You and I and a lot of other people are having a good time with them. And the one other thing I want to compliment you on while I'm on this subject has to do with the little stories that come with them. I dig that part, and I really appreciate you taking an extra few minutes to give me a little paragraph or two about, you know, what happened when you took the shot. Just as I mentioned last week, it just makes all the difference in the world. I also want to mention this month's photo assignment topic, which is vertical. Now, I don't know if this is a harder topic than the other ones or if it's what it is exactly, but entries are actually lighter right now than normal for this time of the month for the photo assignment. So it might be because people don't have, you know, things lying around in their collection that they can submit. They actually have to go out and take this picture, or because y'all haven't quite, you know, figured out what your interpretation of vertical is yet. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to give this a go and to get something turned in, because I think this is potentially as exciting as any of our photo assignments. You got to send in the picture so we have stuff to look at. So I'm just kind of prompting you just a little bit there on the photo assignment. Vertical, you still have a few weeks left, but you might want to get working on that now. And then the last thing, of course, Our wonderful sponsors, Boinks Software, B-O-I-N-X, that make the fantastic Photo Magical, which we'll be talking about. I know I keep threatening that we're going to talk about this, but I'm trying to work out a few details on things before I unleash my grand idea, before I foist it on you. So it's taking just a hair longer than I anticipated, but we're getting close. So in the meantime, though, until you hear the grand scheme I'm cooking up, make sure you take a look at the software. You can click on the tile that's on the Digital Story site, the Photo Magical tile. It's a really cool tile that actually goes through and it actually tells a little story, which I like. And if you miss it the first time, this is really bad. Here I'm telling you how to refresh an advertisement, but it's only because it's cool and I like it. Yeah, you just hit the refresh button and it will go through the sequence again. And I ask them, just to keep it to one loop because it annoys me when advertising tiles just kind of go endlessly in this loop. You're trying to read something and things just go on and on and on over and over and over again. And you go, I got it. So they were kind enough to keep it to one loop. But if you want to see it again, which actually I look at it all the time. All you have to do is hit the refresh button and you can watch it all over again. Puts you in control of your advertising tiles and not them. Anyway, thanks a lot to Boinks and I really appreciate you guys' continued support of the show. Speaking of the show, let's get to it. Okay, camera problems. Now, I'm going to start with self-inflicted because in a lot of ways, those are the most devastating problems for the camera because you did it. So not only is your cherished Digicam not working, it's your fault. You killed it or at least scarred it for life. So maybe we can avoid some of that. This first one is for digital SLR owners, and it has to do with when you take off that lens and you expose that mirror box, and of course the sensors behind that, and you see junk in there, or you're getting junk is showing up in your pictures in terms of specs, which means you have a piece of dust or two in there. And what do you do? Well, you can send it in, of course, and it's probably the best way to go and have the actual camera manufacturer clean it for you. The problem is that's not really reasonable over a long period of time because if you're shooting a lot and changing lenses a lot, you can't afford to be without your camera for a week or two at a time, on a regular basis. Camera manufacturers, they know this. So a lot of them, they actually have a cleaning mode built into the camera. It's usually a menu item. And what it does is it locks up the mirror so that the sensor is exposed and you can, blow it off. Now, notice that I said blow it off, not wipe it off. Rule number one. If you learn nothing else today, rule number one, you probably already know this. Do not touch the sensor with anything. You know that old saying, that our moms used to say, do not put anything sharper than your elbow in your ear. Well, which means don't put anything in your ear. That's don't put anything sharper than your elbow, in your inside your digital SLR, which means don't touch the sensor on whatever you do. Now, there are special tools I see out there that, lift things off and so forth. And they make me really nervous, and they might work well. And we can continue this conversation in the comments, especially if you have something that works really well and goes against this sage advice I'm giving right now. But until we really know for sure, I haven't seen anything myself. Let's not touch the image sensor. All right. Now, when we blow it off, there are basically two ways to go. And the first sound we're going to have a little audio here. The first sound I'm going to give you is something that you should stay away from. Hear that sound? I'm going to do it one more time. That is the sound of canned air. Do not use canned air inside your camera. Actually, I don't even think you should use it outside your camera Because what happens is every now and then you hold the angle of the can a little bit off, and instead of air, you get propellant. Talk about a bad feeling. It's to see that propellant spread across your image sensor. Horrible, horrible feeling. So just stay away from canned air. You don't want that at all. Instead, as I've talked about before, you want this sound. Yes, that is the sound, in this case, of a rocket blaster, which is a neat little device. It has a rubber bulb with a long nose tip, and it brings air in. It actually sort of filters it, and it you squeeze it, and you get nothing but air inside your camera. It's a much safer way to blow off the image sensor and to clean the mirror or anything else in your camera. Now, the same rule goes for your mirror as your image sensor, which is do not touch it. Do not put, lens cleaning fluid on your mirror and try to, I did that once. I did it, fortunately, not on a digital SLR. I did it on an old film camera. And it just gets worse. And then the more you try to clean and fix your problem, the worse you make it. And the next thing you know, you're just crying. It's so sad. I still have the camera that I did that to. And every time I look through the viewfinder, I'm reminded of what an idiot I was for, putting lens cleaning fluid on the mirror on the inside. Don't do it, okay? Learn from my pain. Okay, so that is on the inside of the camera. Now, on another self-inflicted wound on the outside of the camera, and I actually did this to a digital camera. I did it to my Canon EOS 10D. And I'm going to talk about a product made by a company here called Hoodman, which, generally speaking, I've had great luck with these guys. However, I did have one tragedy thanks to them also. And I got this LCD protector from Hoodman. I actually got it at PMA a year or two ago. And it was like, a nice little optical kind of plexiglass thing that actually adhered to the outside of the camera around the LCD viewfinder, which means then, I didn't have to worry about the LCD viewfinder getting scratched. Now, the problem was that this Hoodman protector actually adhered, okay, as an adhesion, to the LCD screen itself. Now, the instructions that came with it said that this was removable adhesive. Yes, they said removable adhesive. I should have known at the time that there's something very wrong sounding about that statement, removable adhesive. It's like, jumbo shrimp. This is old George Carlin shtick, right? On oxymorons. And of course, this classic one is military intelligence, right? Sometimes two words just don't belong together, even though we use them that way. And I think for me, from now on, removable adhesive is in that category of jumbo shrimp and military intelligence. Those two words don't belong together. Because what happened was, I went ahead and followed the instructions, and I put it on, and it worked really well. Protected the LCD, outside of the LCD monitor screen. And then they came out with another kind that was really cool that I wanted to try. And it was like a slip-on little thing that opened up kind of like the top of an old Rolleiflex, so that it would actually shade your LCD monitor in the sunlight so you could see it better. And I go, oh, wow, this is cool. I want to try that. So I bought that one, but I had to take off the old one in order to put the new one on. So, so I'm trying to work off this, removable adhered cover on my mind. And I'm kind of working it, and I got a little tool, and I'm trying to work it in between. And the adhesive just isn't giving. It's like, doesn't seem very removable to me. So I was using a little bit more force, and finally I heard a pop. Unfortunately, the pop wasn't the protectant cover coming off. It was the whole LCD monitor popped. In other words, the adhesive that the Hoodman used to put the cover on the LCD screen was stronger than Canon used to put the actual LCD monitor together. And the next thing you know, I'm looking right into the guts of my camera. Now, the first thing that I found out was that Sony actually makes the LCD monitors for the Canon cameras, because there's a big old Sony there on the unprotected screen. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But that was where my fascination ended with this project. So I'm going, oh my God, you know, this is like this feeling of horror, like when you drop your camera, you know, So once the thing was apart, I did manage to pry the Hoodman protector off the screen. So now I just had like the screen that was supposed to be on my camera is now in my hand. Okay. So I go, okay, I'll clean it up a little bit and then I'll glue it back on. Well, I didn't have any, you know, the right kind of glue around. So I said, well, I'll just use super glue because I won't need to take it off again. Well, of course, then the super glue, you know how sometimes it gets those real fine angel hair kind of strings, right? You know, that kind of float in the air. Well, so then some of those landed across the inside of the screen that I wanted, the monitor cover that I wanted to put on. And so now I had like super glue on the inside of my monitor, not just on, you know, on the edges where it's supposed to be, but, you know, where in the viewable area. So now I'm really freaking out. So now I'm trying to clean the super glue off the inside of this monitor thing. And instead of actually cleaning it off, you know, it's sort of drying and smearing at the same time. So now I have a dried, smeared, super glued monitor for my Canon 10D. So finally, I just realized I had to stop, you know, because everything I did was making this thing worse. So then I just slapped it on there. It's glued on there. And now every time that I look at my monitor screen on my Canon 10D, I'm reminded of this fiasco because I can see all this kind of the super glue swirl marks, you know, on the screen. It's really, really horrible. So there is a lesson in this, and that is, I really don't buy into removable adhesive, because it's just not true. I don't care what anyone says. Over time, I think this thing just bonds the surfaces together and you're stuck, so to speak. And I would actually even put Velcro in this category. I know one of the things I used to experiment with a lot were flash modifiers, and you know, they're kind of fun. You know, these little, you know, light dome kind of things that you would put on your flash to reflect the light and so supposedly soften it, which I'm after years of testing, still not really sold on that either. And a lot of times they require that you put Velcro on your flash head in order to, you know, stick these things on. And I found that over the years, my flashes that have a Velcro on them, I don't like them as much anymore. They sort of become damaged goods. And I find myself wanting to buy a new flash or use a different flash or something, one that's all clean and not marred by this, you know, it looks like, you know, bad carpet strips on the outside of the unit there. So you might not be as strange as I am on these sort of things, but maybe just something to think about before you actually modify any of your equipment, especially with something like Velcro, that at least they're up front. I don't believe they say that they have removable adhesive on the back of their stuff, because it ain't, and we know it isn't now. But before you modify any of your stuff by sticking Velcro or whatever on it, really think about it and think about, you know, are you going to love this child less now? Okay, so think that through. My motto now is anything sticky does not go on my camera, my flash, or anything else. Forget about it. If it's sticky, if it's tacky, you know, if it's going to leave any sort of residue whatsoever, forget about it. So I just now have, and you know what I use for my flash modifier? Well, I use a Canon 580EX, and so it has a nice little built-in reflector that you can pull up. That works really well. But on my other flashes that don't have that, I just use the business card and a rubber band, and that works just fine. Just fine. And you take the rubber band off, and there's no marks. Okay. So that's the stuff that's in your control. How about the stuff that's out of your control? And one of the things that I've been seeing more and more lately, especially on, believe it or not, Canon 20D digital SLRs, are error messages that just suddenly, you're doing something and suddenly the camera stops working and you get like an error 99 sort of flashing in the screen. Now, this may or may not be bad news. Unfortunately, just anecdotally, I've noticed that more often than not, it is bad news. Because it means that basically the computer system has malfunctioned and you don't really have a way to restart it. Now, on occasion, you can fix this problem when you get a flashing error message on your camera. Turn the camera off, remove the battery from the camera, and I usually like to leave it out about 10 seconds or so. Then put the battery back in and start the camera. Sometimes that will actually serve to reset the camera's computer and you're off and running again. On the Canon 20Ds that have had this problem, though, I haven't seen any of the homemade solutions work at all, and people have had to send in the camera. And so I followed up with some of them that have had this problem and asked them, did you hear exactly what it was? And they said, well, no, they said they could fix it. And, they're working on it. I'm going to get the camera back in a few days, but they didn't say specifically what caused the problem. So there's some sort of a computer malfunction going on with some of these cameras. And it happens with other cameras also. So I guess the reason why I'm bringing it up right now is that if this happens to you, a lot of times it's not your fault. Okay. You didn't break your camera. You didn't do something to cause this to happen. It's a problem with the camera itself. And hopefully for you, if it does happen, that it'll happen in the warranty period. Because it sounds to me, based on people I've talked to, it costs about $300 to have it fixed when you're out of warranty. So that's the ballpark price I've been hearing. And, you definitely don't want another $300 charge because that's a lens or get you halfway to a really good lens. And we'd rather spend the money on that than fixing a camera we already have. Now, sort of related to this, regardless of what type of camera you have, there are often firmware updates that are posted on the camera manufacturer's site. And you want to keep an eye out for these. And in fact, if you haven't done a firmware update since you've had your camera, you might want to go over to your site, to the Nikon site or the Canon site or the Olympus site, whatever you happen to have, and check for a firmware update for your camera. And if there is a new one available, I recommend that you follow the procedure very closely and update the firmware of your camera. Now, sometimes firmware updates are just adding new functionality to your camera. For instance, maybe enhanced direct printing, that didn't have before. And sometimes when camera manufacturers come out, for instance, with a new printer that has some new features, they'll update the firmware on the cameras that they want to use with it so that the camera and the printer work together. So this is sort of a feature upgrade. But firmware updates also fix things that they've identified as problems with the camera. And a lot of times, if you keep your firmware up to date, the odds of you having one of these terrible error 99 sort of things go down. Now, that doesn't mean that you're solid and totally protected for life, but it does mean that you've done everything within your power, to keep your camera from freezing up so that you don't have to send it in. Now, along those lines, I also recommend that you remember that your digital camera is part computer, part camera. Now, that doesn't mean you have to baby it, right? You don't have to, you know, never go out, you know, in adverse weather conditions and take pictures, because you're going to miss a lot of shots if you're overly cautious with your camera. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, keep in mind that you are dealing with a computer inside of your camera. So really look out for things such as excessive moisture. And that the most damaging moisture often is in the form of humidity. One of my favorite tricks is to carry a Ziploc bag with me at all times. That's big enough to hold my entire camera and normal lens, whatever lens I normally keep on the camera. So a lot of times you got to go for the big guys, like the quart ones or whatever. And the trick on this is, like, for instance, if you're shooting out in cold weather, before you bring your camera in, put your camera in the Ziploc bag, seal it up, and then bring it in the house. That way, when you bring this cold metal object indoors and condensation starts to form, it will form on the outside of the bag, not on the camera itself. And remember, condensation can also form inside your camera too, if you're not careful to protect it. So this is one of my favorite tricks to keep your camera free from moisture, both on the outside and on the inside. Now, the Ziploc bag is also helpful for when you're in a very humid environment. You can keep your bag in there with some of those silica pouches that help suck the moisture out of the air. And so if you keep your camera in a bag with some silica in there also, then that protects it from humidity when you're just in a regular humid environment. And I would say that moisture is probably one of the biggest threats to your digital camera, and it's something that you really want to keep an eye on. That same Ziploc bag can come in handy also when you're shooting in drizzle conditions, rain or whatever, because you can put your camera in there. You can stick your hands in the open part of the bag to run the controls, and then cut a hole in the other end of the bag to have the front of your lens stick out. And a lot of times what I like to do is have the lens go through the hole, and then I put the lens hood on the front of the camera. So the hood kind of helps hold the bag in place. And this works especially well if you have a bayonet type lens hood. So, you know, your trusty Ziploc bag can do a lot of things to help protect your camera. But really look out for moisture and dust. And the other thing, earlier I was talking about cleaning out your camera. If you have a digital SLR, when you take the lens off to change the lens, try not to hold the camera body so that the opening is facing upward, because it's much easier for stuff to fall into it. Try to keep your camera body either pointing downward or at least facing, you know, sideways, and be very careful that when you remove the lens, that I like to have the camera body actually facing downward a little bit. And when you put the new lens on, same thing. Try not to have it pointing up, because you can have anything fall in there. You can have dust particles fall in there. You can even have a hair off your head fall off and fall in there. And it has happened. It's happened to me. It happened to me. Actually, it happened to one of my assistants on a wedding, where a hair fell in there. It got in there and it danced around the whole time. It was just a nightmare. Just a nightmare. So be very careful. Try not to let things fall into your camera when you're changing lenses. And also, make sure that the back of your lenses are clean, so that when you put them on there, you're not introducing any particulate matter into the inside of the camera. So there you go. There is 30 minutes worth of camera mayhem wisdom. Some of it you may not have known. Most of it you probably did. But if you did know it already, I hope it served as a good reminder, because the main thing that we want to do is keep our cameras running, so that when we grab them, when we see a great shot, right, we can get it. Our camera will capture it. And then, of course, we can send it into the digital story and share it with everyone else. All right, so go out there, have some great shooting this week. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.